right now, you're taking upon our theme for today, huh? I don't know about you, but you had me with fishing. You know, the old adage, keep somebody to fish, right? You give somebody a fish on the end of the day, right? Keep somebody to fish, somebody to work again. So, have you been caught? The question comes to us today. Jesus says to Peter and Andrew and James and John, follow me and I will make you fish for people. Now, in the world, being caught may not sound like a good thing on the surface. You might know I fish now and then. And when if I catch fish, it doesn't always end well for them. Because they lose their heads and they come home and they go into my freezer. Or, we might hear being caught more as getting caught. Like, I don't know, driving through, say, Lannan at 40 miles an hour. Getting caught isn't a real happy experience. I understand it's about 121 fish. And sometimes we're caught in the stuff of life and all those nets of the line for us. If you have kids in school, chances are you're feeling caught up right now, right? There are fees, and then what my colleague Pastor Jen calls the scavenger hunt for each kid. Yeah. Right? You get this list, you got a book, you get all the supplies for each child, and it's different for every grade. Remember, one year we had to get different colored folders for each class, and one of the colors we had to get was orange. Well, we couldn't find orange. Every store, no orange. So we got a red one and wrote orange on it. If you have kids in sports, you know what the day is, don't you? I remember that our daughters were swimmers. The older they got, the more they practiced. We would practice twice a day and meets only on weekends with a Saturday in them. And we paid for the privilege of doing that. We might get caught up in the nets of the pressures and demands of life and family and work. Sometimes the image I have is the image of our first dog, who I foolishly used to take fishing with. Because my dog, when she was in the boat, she would sleep in the bag of the net. So when I needed the net, I'd reach over and pick it up, and every time, at least two legs would go through the bag of the net and get stuck in the mesh. She gets scared at us, well, we're up, you know, let's see if your dog's lying right there. Like, okay. The dog gets frantic, knocks over the tackle box, makes all kinds of noise, sometimes falls in the water. I don't take dogs fishing anymore. Especially retrievers, by the way, that's a different story. But it can feel like it. So, as far as life in the world goes, being caught doesn't always sound very nice. But that's not what Jesus is getting at. Isn't that what it is? What he's talking about is not yet one more net for us to get tangled in. Rather, the kind of being caught Jesus is talking about is more like catching us when we're falling. Catching us when we're caught up in too much other stuff. Catching us to pull us back and rescue us. The other nights we get stuck in. Jesus wants to catch us to save us from all the ways we get caught in the world in the business of life and chasing dreams. He wants to save us from falling. Jesus wants to catch us in order to set us free. Now that might sound like a paradox on the surface. How does catching us set us free? But sets us free because it saves us from danger. Some of you know we have a new pup at home. He's about 5 months. And as a pup, there's things he doesn't understand, like don't run into the road because cars curse. So if he runs toward the road, we have to catch him. Not to ruin his fun, but to save him. Our impulse to do so varies from day to day, but Jesus is studying. He wants to catch us, to rescue us from the things that are dangerous, that trap us, that we don't even know might hurt us. See, being caught by Jesus is not the end of the story. It's the beginning. It is the start of living new. living with purpose, living in a way that doesn't just fill our time, but in a way that fills our hearts, our soul, meaning, and substance. So notice the direction when Jesus calls these first disciples. He doesn't come and say, hey, hang out with me and I'll teach you all kinds of cool things. Nope. He says, come with me and I will teach you the fish for people. Now, fishing, I suspect, might be a play on words. Because what it's about is what they already did. It's what they already knew how to do. So Jesus said, I will make you fish for people. So in a way, Jesus is saying, look, you don't need to go to disciple school. You don't need to learn to do anything new. You just need to learn how to do what you already do for a higher purpose. For drawing people to God, for catching people when they're falling, when they feel hooked, when they feel stuck in the mess. As opposed to Jesus was talking to carpenters and general contractors, he might have said, come with me, and I will teach you to build the kingdom of God. So how is Jesus calling you to serve? How are you called to use the gifts and abilities that you already have to bring God's love to others? That's what some of you have done already. It's what you do when you go work at a house for Habitat. There's some folks here who love to cook. So you cook and serve across the healing ministry and other places to feed the hungry. Right here in a couple weeks, they're cooking some fish with the proceeds to support our mission partners. So, even if you don't like to cook for big numbers, I bet you like to eat. So come eat for Jesus. Who knew? Eating for Jesus. See? Using the gifts you already have to make a difference. Really different. See how it works? We all can have everything we need to do God's work in this world. We already have it. The only thing we need to do is let go of the nets we get started. The things that seem so important. The things that are so alluring in the moment and end up being regretful. We have already been caught when we were falling. When we were lost. When we were running the wrong direction. When we fell for the temptation of doing everything the world says is the right thing to do. I will make you fish for people. I will lead you with building the kingdom of God. I will make you a feeder of people. I will make you a healer of hearts. A listener to the lonely. A maker of peace. Carrier of light, those stuck in the dark. No matter what you already know how to do, no matter who you are, no matter what you do, Jesus calls us to use what we already know to make a difference, to work with Him to bring God's way, the kingdom of God, into this world. Look at our mission statement right there. Look at what that says. These are the drivers. We are a community gathered in Christ, fed by God's word, and sent to serve. Gathered, fed, and sent. We are gathered in Christ and caught up in the net of His love and the power and the promise of new life. We are fed right here with God's word. We are fed with one bread and one body in Christ and turned into one body, the body of Christ. But we don't stop there. Remember, the church is not a destination. We are the gas station. We are the place where we are fueled up to get on with the business of living our lives and living for the kingdom of God. We are sent. We are sent back into the world to rescue the lost, to gather up the lonely and the broken, to feed the hungry, to clothe and boots for those who are cold. See, all three of those pieces go together. We are gathered. We are dead. We are sent. Our buckets get filled up. And then we pour them out. And they get filled up. And we pour them out. And God's love flows through us. So what gift do you have to share? We don't need to learn a new trade. We just need to use what we already know to do in a new way. Driving a nail, or frying fish, or riding a bike every day might not feel like an overly religious thing. But when we do those things in order to bring God's way of love and life into the world, they become far more than religious. Or there's something to do. They are faithful. What gives you? God is called.